Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Aces Up the Sleeve. We are back in. The trio is back. Jared Shoemaker, Mark Wampler, the managing partners of Pocket Aces Racing, and myself, Patty. I am, I guess, the host of our little shindig. And we're in. We went shopping, and that's always a good thing around here. We went shopping. Well, Mark went shopping, and we shopped vicariously through him. But man, oh man, you found us a really, really nice filly, and we're gonna sit down and we're gonna talk about her. And I'm really excited to introduce her to the partners, because she's something. She's a looker. She's really, really nice.
Yeah, I'm thumping my chest a little bit about this one. I definitely came out of there just, you know, wanting to show her to everybody, sending pictures to everybody. It was a lot of hard work to find something that looks like her that we could afford, but I couldn't be any happier. I mean, I think she's a superstar in the making.
And to clarify real quick, we are talking about our recent venture to the Phasic Tipton Mid-Atlantic sale earlier in May. The new format of the sale, no actual time breezes, limited crop use and so forth. I think it was, from what I understand, quite well received by buyers and sellers, and certainly the folks at Tipton. So, Mark spent the better part of a week down there looking at every filly on the grounds, just about, or at least every Kentucky bred filly on the grounds, and came away with a short list. And this filly came, was at the top of that short list when all was said and done. And thrilled that we walked out of there with her. So, Mark, just why don't you get started? Just kind of talk to us a little bit about the process, and in particular, the differences in shopping at a 2-year-old sale and shopping at the yearling sale.
Well, before we do that, let me just say this is a juvenile filly by More Spirit out of Skindy by Skipaway. So that's who we're talking about.
Yes. It was, like I say, it was a lot of work. And one of the reasons I felt like we should be at the sale, and I really wanted to go to this sale and look at horses, was because of the new rules and regulations. There's no timed breezes, limited crop use. I really felt like the emphasis was going to be on the physicals. There weren't going to be any 9-4, 10 flat works. So that was going to level the playing field a little bit. And, I feel that's one of my strengths, is looking at younger horses at yearlings. And it would be a good opportunity for Pocket Aces. So now I would say at the 2-year-old sales, these horses are more exposed. They're just older. They are, training on the track. And, the horses that are well-bred, that vet out, that we like physically, they're just by and large going to be too expensive for us. We're always looking for angles. What I did try to do is start with the fillies. Your money goes a little further with fillies. It's just my perception that, to win a maiden special weight in Kentucky for a colt, they've just got to be Superman. They're going to cost a lot of money. They're going to be, the best individuals there. And with the fillies, you can find a little more value. So basically started with all the Kentucky bred fillies. As a group, I thought it was average, based on all the physicals. I felt like some of the hardcore Ocala 2-year-old Pinhook consigners didn't bring their best stock, because they knew they weren't going to have a bunch of 9-4s, 10 flats, 10-1 on that little bull ring would probably be pretty fast. But I didn't feel like they brought their best stock to this sale. But I found, if there's enough of them, if you go through hundreds of them, I was able to find 11 that I really liked, I thought were really nice physicals. And then we start our process of weeding out those 11. And, you know, one of the things we do is we hire a longtime friend of mine, Jay Kilgore, who owns, what's the name of the company, Jared?
Metrics Equine,
yeah. And he has spent decades going to the two-year-old sales, analyzing tens of thousands of horses that have been through this sale. They measure their stride length. They have a formula that assigns something similar to a buyer figure. And in their in simple terms, in their program, they assign each horse to a group 1, 2, 3, or 4. And their research shows that 80% of the graded stakes winners that come out of the two-year-old sales, and I believe their sample size is about 17,000, 80% of them come out of group 1 and group 2. And so right away, I eliminated our group 3 and 4 of those 11 that came up. And so I was left with the 1s and the 2s. Now, we only had 2 of the fillies in group 1, and that was the filly we purchased and another filly that came after her. But the filly that came after her had some vet issues. And where we were by the, you know, second day of the sale was, I was there for Skindy. I was there for More Spirit Skindy. And that was the horse we were going after, or we just probably weren't going to buy anything. I thought she was an exceptional physical. Interestingly, out of all those hundreds of horses, she was the best horse, in my opinion, best filly that I'd seen. And we, as I'm looking at these horses, I'm also sending them to Dermot. You know, hey, Dermot, here's hip 498. Could you take a look on the computer? Just look at the pictures, look at her work. And I did that with several fillies. And when I sent him 498, I get a text back from him just minutes later saying, I already know this filly. I love her. I tried to buy her as a yearling last October. And, you know, he was buying it for himself. He'd already bought a few. He could only spend, you know, he didn't have a big budget. So he was the underbidder. So that made me feel real good, too. So, you know, you've got this filly. She's an exceptional physical. I loved her work on the track. She wasn't being pushed or driven or whipped, but she was, when she broke off her work, her head's low. She's in the work. She's aggressive. No wasted motion. And she gallops out just as strong as she went through the lane. And I knew that she was going to be popular. You know, we were going to have some competition on her. What I was hopeful of is her sire, More Spirit, was a great racehorse himself, grade one winner, and he's the sire of several graded stakes winners. I think over 5 crops his progeny have earned 16-17 million, so he's a solid sire, but he's not a sexy sire. And you know, that's where we were hoping to find the value. It seemed like the other ones that hit my list that I liked physically, and other people might not have had our information from Jay, but it seemed like those horses that had more breeding and were really good athletes and looked good out on the track in the morning, the entry level was $300,000, you know, and we just didn't have that to spend. It's one of those, of all the sales I've been to, I try not to get my hopes up too much. By the night before she was going to go through the ring, I spent a lot of time, you know, wishing and hoping that we'd get her at a price we could afford. I went up to the ring that day. I could tell that David Engordo, who is, you know, he's an excellent judge of horse flesh himself. He bought Zenyatta. He's the husband of Cherie DeVoe. And I know he's been instrumental in her careers. He's just a really good horseman. He knows a good horse when he sees it. And he was on the horse, and we kind of went back and forth, and we were able to get her for $100,000. And it's exactly the kind of horse we're looking for. We're putting the physical in front of everything. We want the athlete. We do that at the yearling sales to find value, and we've done it at the two-year-old sales to find value. And we just couldn't get a better athlete for the money we spent.
Yeah, and you know, I want to add this to, you know, talking about value and you know, talking about how, you know, finding value in a filly, I think that particularly pertains to the two-year-old sale. It's much tougher to find value in a colt at the two-year-old sale, yes, simply because, you know, that's everybody's, you know, it's right after the Derby, right around Derby time, it's right around Preakness time, and, you know, even if you get into June, it's around Belmont time, and everybody's got Triple Crown fever. Right. And I think finding that value at the two-year-old sale in a colt is extremely difficult. We can still do it at the yearling sale, primarily because there's so damn many horses going through the ring in September and October. So, you know, we're still able to get plenty of good value in a colt as yearlings, but as two-year-olds, man, it is tough sledding. And that's why, you know, Mark decided to focus on fillies this sale, and probably what we'll do for the most part anytime we shop at two-year-old sales. You know, maybe not always, but that's more than likely the direction that we go.
Yeah, and that's all well said and very accurate. I mean, you can find some value with the colts, but I would estimate you're just doubling your chances if you want to look at fillies at those sales. And then you hope they run well, and you've got residual value too. That's a little extra. It's not what was driving this, but if they can make their own pedigree, like Temple City Terror, you know, she had no broodmare value when we bought her, but she made her own broodmare value. And if they can run well enough, these fillies, you know, they will have, depending on how well they run, they will have value themselves when their careers are over.
And you know, Mark and I had, just to again reiterate his point earlier, we had multiple conversations on the phone and countless texts between, you know, well, that whole weekend, and then Monday and Monday night and Tuesday morning. And as he said, you know, by the time, Monday night, certainly by the time he'd slept on it Tuesday morning, he's like, if we don't get the More Spirit filly, I'm calling up Ted in Ireland and telling him to go look at for us at Tattersall's. And you know, he said, there's nothing else on our list that I like as well as her. We had like three or four that went in front of her that Tuesday. He said, I'm passing on all those. We're locked in on this one. If we don't get her, we'll do Ireland. And if Ireland doesn't work out, we're going to June. Right. So, it was very, very much, locked in on this filly. And, when you look at her, you know, just watch her breeze video. If it's on the website, if you haven't gotten the emails on her, I mean, it's just her gallop out is as impressive, if not more impressive, I thought.
Yeah.
Then, you know, that actual work itself. I mean, she just kept going.
Still in the bit, still low, still going. Yep. She wants, that to me, that's a great sign. And I look for it in our, you know, the yearlings we bought when we're starting to breeze them early on when they're two-year-old years. You can't really go by the clock. You can't go by too much. Really, all I look for is their head down. Are they aggressive? Are they in the bit? Do they want to be in front of that horse in front of them? And, you know, just, you know, those first little signs that they want to be a racehorse, they want to do this. They're not trying to back out of the work, you know, after the wire. They're not holding their heads up high, resentful. And this filly was all business. She loves to run. And that was part of why I thought it was so important to get her.
Yeah, and Mark, talk a little bit more about the, you know, as you mentioned, several of the horses that we had on our list, several of the fillies we had on the list that didn't have vet issues, that had the breeding, that had the pedigree, that had the physical, how much, they were going, 300,000, yeah. 400,000, 500,000, and it just, obviously that's not where we live, and we're not going to try to live in that area, at least at this particular juncture. So talk to more about, you have to give up something.
Yeah.
So why is it, we don't want to give up on vetting. We don't want to give up on the athlete, but we're willing to give up on that sire power a little bit, that sexy sire, because the fashionable sire.
Yeah. Here's what I would say about that. The best judges of horse flesh that I know of, the people who consistently pick out nice horses, the Donato Lannies, the David and Gordos, the Liz Crows, the Mike Rhines, even back in the day, Demi O'Byrne, I've known these people forever. I've had multiple conversations with each of them. And to a man and woman, the theory and how that...
Hey, all right.
You want me to start over?
No, go with it.
Yeah, thought I had my ringer on. To a man and woman, their way of buying horses, and this group of people that I just mentioned, and I know a ton of other good, good judges of horse flesh. The way they shop is they put the physical animal first. They are looking for an athlete, and that is what drives everything. And you ask those people, and you ask me, the pedigree just tells you how much you have to spend. What is first is the athlete, is a horse that looks like it's going to be a runner. And then you look at the pedigree to see how much money you're going to have to spend on the horse. And that is the thought, the initial thought process. And it's my initial thought process, too. The very first thing we're looking for is the athlete. And you see it over time. You see it time and time again. You get these horses by sires that aren't necessarily sexy bred, but they're grade one winners and Oaks winners and Breeders' Cup winners. You got, horses like Splendora, who's by Audible, who stands for 7,500. She's a graded stakes winner. Torpedo Anna, by Fast Anna, won the Oaks and the Breeders' Cup Distaff. The list just goes on and on. She Feels Pretties by Cara Conte. She's a grade one winner. Soul of an Angels by Eritreides. She's a grade one winner. So that's what, that philosophy of that's how you find value is by looking for these, animals that stick out that are different than everything else. And those are the ones you go for and decide how much you're going to pay for them. And that's what's driven my thinking. And when you're at any sale, especially, if you're trying to find some value, I would recommend giving up a little bit on the pedigree first. And I think to the average fan, the average, let's say, syndicate member, I think the emphasis on pedigree gets outsized. It has more influence in their minds than they might realize if they talk to the experts who are actually out there doing the shopping. And I think it's because that is so relatable. It doesn't take a lot of time and effort to bone up on who the sexy sires are. Look at the, the stud fees, and those big stud fees. The big stud fees aren't always based on performance on the track. A lot of times big stud fees are based on how well they sell their product, how much money you can make off their progeny. You got to be careful with that. But I think pedigree, you know, for a lot of people is in their minds a lot more important than it actually is, because you find out time and time again that a good runner can come from, you know, anywhere, from any stallion. Yes, Into Mischief might have more than others, but it doesn't mean a single horse by a sire who's standing for 5,000, 10,000 can't be the grade one winner. And that's where opportunities are for us.
And, you know, just, you know, to your point, you know, Into Mischief, not only, yeah, he might have a whole lot more, but he's breeding to a hell of a lot more fillies, the mares, than a lot of these other stallions are, because, yes. You know, he had a couple good winners. They got hot, and all of a sudden, you know, everybody wants a piece of him. So, yes. And, you know, I know you, right after you bought her, and we got the pictures back from our photographer, you sent the pictures to Brendan.
Yes.
So, Brendan, I got a 2-year-old filly I'm going to send you, and kind of gave him a few of the details. And he said, and his response was, she looks really nice.
Yes.
You can get good horses from anywhere.
Yeah. That's
and exactly. Yeah. I mean, so his, he gave zero thought to who she was by.
Yeah,
it,
right.
It was not a concern for him at all.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
It's nice.
You know, Brendan's reputation is based on being a trainer, but he's, you know, he's a very good judge of horse flesh himself. He, not all trainers really work the sales. It's kind of, it's a different skill set, and some of them have that skill set to look at horses and identify horses. And Brendan is one of those trainers. He spent plenty of time going to the sales, and he's made a study of it. And he was really excited about her. He took one look at her. You know, saw I sent him the work on her too, and he was really excited. Said she was very nice, and you know, he couldn't wait to get her in. So, and my thought on this filly is just kind of an aside. I think she's going to be pretty forward. She looks like she doesn't look like she is a back end 2-year old or a you know, an early 3-year old. We've sent her back to Kentucky. Dermot has her, Dermot Littlefield. We're giving her a couple of weeks, 2 weeks to get over the sale, and that'll go through the rest of this week, and then she'll go, then she'll start training again. I don't think that it's going to take very long to get her up to 3/8 breezing, and I'd like to see this filly going to, you know, if there's no setbacks, everything goes well, like to see this filly getting to Brendan sometime in July.
And yeah, I know I talked to Dermot a little bit myself when I was out there last week, you know, looking at some of the horses with some partners, and he kind of echoed those thoughts, like, you know, she's not going to take very long at all to get ready. And she's, yeah. She hadn't even been there a week yet. And he said, she's already, you know, she's, you can tell she's kind of wanting to do a little something already.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, he's definitely got the same thought process as you, that she's not going to take long at all to be ready to get
and
going.
The thing that struck me about this filly that I kept running over in my mind is, independently of each other, Dermot, David and Gordo and myself all came up with this filly out of hundreds of fillies, you know, to choose from. And there's got to be something to that, you know, that, you know, these people who've made their living off selecting horses, they're all landing on the same horse. What's that?
It's not an accident.
Yeah, it's not an accident. She is, and I'll tell you this, if she was by Constitution, if she was by even one of these younger, sexier sires who don't have runners yet, like a Cyberknife or something like that, she would have cost $500,000 at least. It's just that name, More Spirit, that kept her from being a very, very expensive horse. And I'd rather buy an outstanding athlete that was a little light on pedigree than a filly or a colt with an outstanding pedigree, but has all kinds of problems. Doesn't look like a runner, has vet problems. If I'm going to find value, it's not going to be well-bred horses with problems. It's going to be exceptional athletes with a little light on page. And that's, like I say, more spirit. He was a grade one winner, multiple grade one winner. He has sired stakes winners. And so it's not like he, you know, is complete dud. He just, the market is very fickle. What determines stud fees and how long you stay in Kentucky and things like that. And he was just, you know, I feel like more of a victim of, you know, circumstance. But anyway, that's the thing about this filly. She's special because she is an individual.
All right. Anything that we haven't touched on with this filly? You know, if you haven't seen her yet, go to pocketacesracing.com. Check her out. Check out the pictures, the video. We got a post up on Facebook about her as well, and you know, got some availability. She's been snapped up. We still got some left, but she's definitely been popular so far, and even got a few new people that have jumped in on her that haven't been with us before. So, you know, I think as she gets further along and gets a little bit closer, I think she'll go kind of quick. But
yeah.
Yeah, you know, just if you got questions, obviously always reach out and we'll be happy to talk to you about her. So
the one thing I would leave with is see this filly for yourself. You know, we're here, we're doing a you know, a podcast extolling her virtues, how great she is. Come see her yourself. I think we're talking about maybe having an open house day just for her when she gets back to the track and gets training. But look at her pictures, look at her work video. They really speak for themselves, and she has got a ton of potential.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then we'll have more information on that. Like I said, we want her to get back to Dermot, at Burn at the Thoroughbred Center. Once she gets up and going and, you know, kind of maybe gets into that work pattern, we'll schedule a Saturday morning. Folks can come out and check her out and get a look-see for themselves. So,
yeah.
Speaking of the Dermot Barn, will they be able to see any of the other horses that we might have available while they're over there?
Magic Aces available with Dermot. You know, he's in that weekly breeze pattern, and you know, he's still doing great. You know, he is going to be what we think a little bit later, being ready for the races. We never really envisioned him as as an early 2-year-old, so that's why he's not at the track yet. But Magic Aces is there, doing really well. Mark, thoughts on him?
Yeah, Magic Aces is, you know, he's done everything right. You know, there's been no hiccups. He is what we thought he was. He's going to be, you know, he's bred to be. He looks like a horse. It's going to go a route of ground, two turns, a mile is just where we're going to get started with him. You know, he's going to be a traditional U.S. dirt route of ground horse, and he's developing just like we thought he would, and everything's been good with him so far. And he's one that, you know, we knew, you know, we've got some horses, 2-year-olds already at the racetrack, and getting ready to work. We just knew he wasn't that type of horse. He's going to, you know, when the real running gets started in the fall, he's going to be ready for, that's going to be his thing. And he's hitting all of his markers. And doing well, and he hasn't done anything wrong. Everything's going well with him so far.
Yeah, not with Dermot, but just right across the road at Silver Springs, we've got Red Hot Mama 24. We're in the process of getting her named finally. That's our Drain the Clock filly. We bought as a racing prospect. We did a little bit of a change up there after we got her, because there was a lot of interest from the 2-year-old pinhookers and getting her into a 2-year-old sale. We gave that a shot, but just for a variety of reasons, you know, it worked out that she was not going to be ready to make the 2-year-old sales. And we brought her back to to keep as a racing prospect, which is why we bought her in the first place. And man, she's a different horse than she was when we brought her home.
Yeah, absolutely. I, you know, when we bought her as a racing prospect, our normal kind of thing. After we looked at her, a little closer after the sale, after we got approached by all these pinhookers, we decided to take a chance on pinhooking her, see if she can make a bunch of money for us. But the one thing I told Scott Kintz before she went down there is don't ruin our racehorse. That was the overriding, instruction he got from me anyway, is we're willing to try this, do this, but I don't want the process to, mess up our racehorse, because that's really why she was bought. And as the process was going along, it wasn't working out for her. And so we pulled the plug pretty quick and said, just let's bring her back to Kentucky. And really, Kevin Noltmeyer at Silver Springs has done wonders with her. She's breezing. She just started breezing. It won't take long for her to get fit. She is a rocket. She is, opposite of Magic Aces. She's going to get to the races quickly, and I'd like to get her to the races when she can run, five and a half, six. She's going to be a speedy, fast filly, and we'll see how far she can carry that speed. But since we've regrouped in Kentucky, she's just taken off.
Yeah, and I would say, her issues, they weren't physical, they were almost exclusively mental issues. Yeah. She just wasn't quite mentally prepared, mature to be on that fast pace that's required to get a horse ready for the 2-year-old sale. Yeah. So that's what, and we, as Mark said, we didn't want to fry her brain, so to speak, trying to pound a square peg into a round hole to get into that sale,
So. To do well in those 2-year-old sales, they need to be breezing by the end of the year. And or shortly after, in January, they need to start breezing. And she just wasn't ready for it yet, And we started breezing her a week, 10 days ago. And that's just, she's sound as a pound, going great. We just had to back off the pedal a little bit. We didn't, and the other thing is I didn't want the process. Look, she's a speedy horse, she's fast, but even if you're sprinting, even maybe you can do it at 4.5, but 5, 5.5, 6, you just can't run like a scalded dog. And that's what I didn't want them to teach her down there, is to always being going as fast as she can. And that became the worry. When we got her to Kevin slowed her down, brought her along at her pace, did actually a lot of trail riding with her. And we didn't introduce speed until we were ready. She was ready for it. And we got to teach her to ration her speed. And so far, so good. I really like that we brought her home to Kentucky and didn't try to force her through that 2-year-old sale.
Yeah, and I think that first breeze that she had, it just speaks to the work that they've done with her over there. I mean, she was relaxed, she was calm, she looked like she'd done it before. A lot of times when you give them their head that first time, they're looking around, they're surprised, they don't know what in the world they're supposed to be doing. And I mean, she just picked up the bit and went with it, and had no problems whatsoever, and hadn't had any problems since.
Yeah, so right. I guess that was 2 weeks ago. We just weren't able to breeze this last week because of all the rain we've gotten, but hopefully we'll pick back up with her into this week.
I think we get some dry days starting Thursday, maybe.
Hopefully Saturday.
She'll be able to get a little speed work in. And if so, I'll try to get out there and get some video for everybody. So. Well, that's about where we are. We do have the one other one, Victory by Grace, but we had a little, had that little issue coming out of the race we claimed her out of. So we're just we're letting her do her thing for a little while, and we'll talk more about her when she's ready to to get back into training. But, you know, take a look at those three, because if you're not in on them yet, I think you're missing out on some opportunities. So,
definitely go out to see them too. Like, you can hear us talking about it.
Yeah.
But I think I even replied to somebody on the Facebook as I was kind of cruising through the replies on the post about Skindy, the More Spirit juvenile. And I even told I told the person commenting, I was like, she's even more impressive in person. Like, it's definitely worth your time to go out there and go see her.
And there's all kinds of great names you can come up with Skindy. Jared's already, we've already gotten a couple, right?
We've gotten a couple. I don't know. I don't know if my wife will approve of all of them. but we have gotten, not that she has to, but I don't need to live with that headache,
But we've got like skinny, something with skinny dipping and variations on skin.
Yep. The skin to win, I think, was
skin to win. Yeah.
More skin to win, I think, is where she's going to draw the line.
Gotcha. But anyway, we can all have a lot of fun with that too.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. Well, I think that'll about wrap us up for today. And, we'll be back in the coming days with some more of our little educational mini series. I think, we talked about in one of the more recent ones about why we don't skip conditions and conditions. But it occurred to me that we hadn't really talked about condition books and overnights and preferences and all that kind of stuff. And, all the time we're sending out emails telling people, oh, the race didn't fill today, but there's an overnight or it's an extra and blah, blah, blah. And I think people don't always know exactly what we're talking about. So we're going to deep dive into some of that terminology and exactly how all that's, the racing secretaries develop all that and come up with it and so forth. So that'll probably
Very interesting stuff. On the surface, it's easy to understand, but once you start scratching the surface, it actually gets pretty darn complicated. And it just would be good for the partners to know where we're coming from, why exactly we aren't doing what seems obvious, maybe to somebody. It's because of the complications in these books and conditions and they've got a strangles outbreak at that place. We can't ship back, if we go up there. There's tons and tons of variables.
Yep. So that's on the horizon, and we got a few other topics that we're interested in doing. And if you got something you'd like to know more about, send it our way and we'll put it on the list and do the best we can to help explain it. So. I believe that's all we got for today. Thanks, everybody, for joining us.
Yep, absolutely. You heard the man. And once again, make sure that you follow us on all of our social media pages. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. We're all over the place under Pocket Aces Racing. And thanks for coming back in and listening to us chit-chat about a really, really exciting addition to the stable. And, we'll see you guys back for our return to the sub-series, the Ask the Managing Partners sub-series. And everybody have a good day, and Kentucky, stay dry. I know Mother Nature's trying to drown us, but we'll get there. So stay dry, everybody. Have a good day, make good choices, and we'll see you next time.